You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. Today, I'm having a chat with Alex Morris, who's joining me from the great island of Australia, Sydney, I believe. And we're going to be talking about an interesting topic that I think you may see in your life in one way or another. We're going to talk specifically about how we see it in the coaching and consulting world a great deal. But many businesses out there are built around perception, are built around the individuals who are representing that business, that brand. And sometimes it may come across differently than it actually exists in reality. We're going to be talking about authenticity with Alex, and I'm really excited to talk about this topic because he brings an interesting and refreshing perspective on the topic. Alex Morris, welcome.
Good afternoon, David. Thank you for having me.
I love the fact that we're sort of time traveling. It is my afternoon. It is your morning in the future, I might add. And that is the reality of the situation. And there's, you know, I mentioned, you know, reality and perception. Because before I hit record, you were telling me this sort of your thoughts about the importance of authenticity. And I wonder if you might sort of run through that for the audience so that we understand what you mean by authenticity and sort of how it plays out in the world of these coaches, consultants, and other entrepreneurs who have to be themselves in their business and represent themselves.
Sure thing. Sure thing. It's a very big topic, but it's definitely one that I'm passionate about. The context, I've been in the coaching space for about 7 or 8 years now. And for the first 4 or 5, I was doing my own nutrition coaching business. And with that, I saw varied amounts of success, but mostly very little. I was running in and out of different network marketing companies for that kind of golden ticket to, you know, succeeding. And what I generally saw in the coaching space, and something I was definitely guilty of, was kind of falling into this Instagram lifestyle of showing your highlight reels of how your life runs, how your business runs. And I noticed that in the coaching space, especially when most of us, we are the business, you know, we have the services, us, the product is us. We all wanted to give our audience this idealized, optimized image of how we were, so we could be a role model and a point of authority for the audience. And they just want to be like us. And then they buy our programs and then, hey, life would be perfect. And that was kind of the way I lived in that coaching space for a long time. However, there was always these little niggles in my mind that something wasn't right about the way most people approached it. And the thing was, I noticed that when I went to a lot of these seminars and these coaching masterminds, all these people who would show up a certain way online would rock up to these seminars sharing Ubers and bringing peanut butter sandwiches and sleeping on people's floors and struggling to pay their bills and showing up online like this business superstar. But then behind the scenes, we were all struggling to actually, you know, live the life we were teaching other people to live. So it just made me very aware, David, that there's a big incongruency in the coaching space. And that's kind of what I want to start off this authenticity movement to address.
Well, I love the idea here because, you know, you talked about how you've been doing this, you know, for a number of years now, and that you saw the Instagram lifestyle portrayal, right? Back when I started, and for people who are listening, my hair is gray. Alex is not, and there was no Instagram, and there was a lot less of this sort of putting ourselves on display
and selling ourselves. I mean, I'm thinking back to things that predate me, by the way, like Charles Atlas teaching bodybuilding, or Earl Nightingale sending out self-help tapes and that sort of thing, where they were the gurus, the masters of whatever they happened to be teaching, but they weren't putting themselves on display to sort of say, be like me. Well, Charles Atlas was. I mean, you would see his big muscles and all of that sort of thing. But the point being, this is all fairly new, and it's probably sort of overlapping with general culture in these modern times. So it's probably not simply a result of people trying to put on a show for growing their business. We're doing this in our lives in general, aren't we?
100%. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I've got two daughters now. I had two twin baby girls in 2020. And so they're coming up on 2 years old. And seeing the way that teenagers and young people are acting these days on socials, it scares the hell out of me. Not because they're doing the wrong thing, just because the way that the world is pushing them is to be better and show more of yourself and document everything and compete with your mates. And in that social pecking order that is constantly in our mind all the time, that is the way the world is going. It's a bit terrifying, but I'm sure we'll adapt. However, in business, you know, if you lie to people on the front end, then when they come in and they're taken by this false image you put out and they come into your business, they're going to see something different. And when there's money changing hands, I believe you have a really big responsibility to be honest with people. And so, yeah, man, I don't see enough of it. And so when I have clients come in and they make all these big promises and they want to make big promises to sell their services, I will tell them that we're not going to do that. We're gonna be honest, and we're going to figure out a way of positioning you as a point of authority without, you know, misleading people. And I think that's very important.
So for listeners who are not sort of familiar with the way that people are representing themselves, you and I might see this in the coaching space. I've certainly seen it in other professional services space as well. But I mean, describe some of the outlandish things that people are doing to sell themselves or impress people to get the attraction. And then perhaps you can contrast that with some of the things that you're doing and that you're helping your clients with to be more authentic.
100%, man. So the main one we see is people inflating their numbers a little bit. Say we're in the space of coaching and we're helping people to, you know, grow their business in a way. Like I'm a marketer, but my job is to help people grow their business through getting more leads in. There's business coaches out there, sales coaches, and a lot of them, because I know a lot of them, are inflating their numbers to the point where, you know, say they make five sales worth $2,000 a pop, right? In 1 month. So there's $10,000 worth of sales, but from every one of those people, they've taken a $500 deposit. They've actually only made $2,500, but they'll take that $10,000 that they've made in sales. And then they'll say, oh, you know, if I do that every month, that's a six figure business. I'm a six figure seller. You know, I've just done a six figure month. And at the very, very outline of that, there's a little bit of truth. But it's really not. And you see this all the time. So when people say, learn to make, you know, $10,000 a week like me, when really they've only taken five deposits of $500, or learn to do, you know, if they have a really big month and then they just inflate that for the whole year and say, I'm a seven-figure business owner. You're not a seven-figure business owner. You've just done a lot of sales in 1 month. You've never repeated it and you'll never repeat it again. They inflate their numbers. And so this is one thing that I see the most. And this was what I saw when I was back in the coaching space. I would have friends have a very successful month, maybe off the back of a Grant Cardone seminar where they just hustle and call everyone and close everyone. They don't repeat it, but they focus on that 1 month. And that becomes the Stripe screenshot. They show everyone, look how much I made this month. Do you want to have weeks like this? I made $4,000 while sitting on the beach. It's like, you didn't make $4,000 sitting on the beach. You made it last week working really hard. And now it just happened to hit your account while you were on the beach, you know? So all these images of how well people are doing, the success that they're having, while there may be some grain of truth to it, they are really skewing that truth and just expanding it to the point where they're pretending to be this digital nomad making seven figures a year in a couple hours from their laptop while sitting at the beach. And they don't show you the stressful mornings, the sales calls that they got turned down on, the people who didn't show up. They don't show you the stress when their tax bill comes in, or the coaches that they're not paying because they can't afford it. They just show you the good stuff, and people want to be like them, and then they cannot deliver the results, and the cycle continues, and it gives our whole industry a very bad name.
And you're using an example from the make money or the business industry, mm-hmm. but there are variations on this theme in many industries. So, I imagine the thought that I had in my mind as you were describing that is something I was watching a documentary yesterday, still trying to understand exactly how cryptocurrency works and what it's all about. And there was this discussion of the crypto bros, right? The people who are doing exactly what you've described. They're not out there selling coaching, but they're out there pretending like, you know, this is the most amazing thing, and all you need to do is invest in, you know, whatever the hot cryptocurrency is of the moment, and you can have this luxury lifestyle. It's not always about luxury lifestyle, though. I imagine that you can find this in other coaching disciplines, like, you know, relationship or something else.
Yeah, and the kind of spirituality space, I think, is a big one. A lot of coaches out there. And by the way, I'm not just ragging on coaches. These people are all genuinely, for the most part, lovely people, really well-meaning people. And they're experts in one thing, or they're very good at one particular thing, and they want to teach that to people, to the world, make a living off of it. And they've just been misled by bad marketers to do the same. So that's I'll get that out of the way. I've got nothing against the people doing this. I just really recommend they don't do it. A lot of spiritual coaches and people who are selling a more intangible benefit will just focus on how happy and peaceful and content they are all the time, and how centered they are, and how every morning for them looks like waking up and sitting cross-legged on a cushion and meditating for 45 minutes, then doing like a cacao ceremony, and then having a cold shower, and then grounding, and they start their day magically at somehow 7:30 a.m. starting work after doing this 4-hour, ritual every morning. And we kind of only see this very, very small snapshot of how they live. And what happens is it makes them look great. It makes them look like a really, really cool person, someone you want to follow for sure. But if we're a client and we're comparing ourselves to these coaches and we don't see the other, 22 hours of their life, then it makes it a very, very difficult, unattainable standard as well. And so not only is it bad for the coaches when they're not being fully honest about what their life looks like, it's also bad for the audience and the clients who get sucked into this comparison game we're all playing on social media, where they're thinking, oh, I'll never be successful unless I wake up at 4:30 in the morning and meditate and do a cacao ceremony and do a cold shower and read 30 pages of a book and, listen to a self-help tape and 100 affirmations and 95 push-ups before I start my workday. And it's just all very conflated. What everyone says is the method and the way to reach success in whatever field they're in. And relationship coaches, they'll do the videos of them cold approaching people or doing these perfect rituals to make themselves really, really confident and happy and finding themselves before they find another person. And I know two relationship coaches who are single, and who don't have relationships. And I've never known them to have a relationship, but all they're doing is training people to be in a relationship. And I didn't even know if they've ever mentioned the fact that they're not. So it's it's just a lot of people maybe setting a standard that's too high, not living up to it themselves. And it's just going to backfire in the long term, I feel. I don't think it's sustainable.
All right. So I think you did a great job of painting the picture of what is problematic here. Sure. And obviously, our job is also not just to point the fingers at the problems, but to identify some ways to fix them. So I'm interested in hearing some of your thoughts. One of the things that struck me when I visited your website, there's a couple of videos or photos of, there was one on the front page of the site with you and your two daughters, you know, in your arms. And there's another video with one of your kids in your arms while you were, I think, in, you mentioned it was during COVID, you were at home, you were in front of your home gym, you were holding your daughter who was chiming in from time to time. And it was not the most polished video, which was great. And I liked you even more because of all of that. So I think that, you know, that has just as positive an effect on the way that someone can come across as being real, perhaps better than somebody who is being inauthentic, as you've just described. So why don't you talk a little bit about sort of your perspective on that and the psychology that that's behind all of that?
Sure. And thank you for saying that. It's, you know, that is the fact of my life. My life, I can hear my two babies, they're nearly 2 years old now, running around outside. At some point during this interview, they'll bang on the door, you know, knowing I'm in here and wanting me to be out there. And this is my life. And so sometimes when I'm on a call with a client or delivering to a client, I'll have to say, I can't do it today, you know, or I'll get it to you tomorrow, because suddenly my wife's got to go to the doctor and I've got to look after two babies for the next 3 hours. You know, that's the facts of my life. And for me, I think I was just so smitten and proud when those girls came out that I couldn't help but put them in all my branding, all my marketing. I just happened to do that. But what I saw was, like you said, people loved it. They thought, this is great. I seemed more trustworthy. I seemed, you know, I got more engagement, more likes, more conversations. And the less I tried to amplify my image, the more people liked and responded to me. And I thought, why is this? You know, why am I getting so much engagement and love now? Where when I was showing up in videos wearing a shirt and jacket that I never normally wear in my life, I was getting zero engagement on them. And it was because I wasn't being true to myself. And so now I naturally approach this. I notice how it helped not only my business, you know, but my relationship with clients when we connect on a deeper level. You know, how are your kids? My kids are awful today. How are yours? Same. Let's get on with it. Let's get an hour of work done, that sort of thing. It increased my relationship with my clients as well. So that was the first thing. The second thing I saw was once I stopped being a coach with other coaches and started being a marketer for them, mm-hmm. I noticed how a lot of them just thought what they needed was a ludicrous offer or a big promise. And knowing these people, I knew they couldn't deliver it. And so I said, you know, to this guy who's just quit his job to help other people quit their jobs and make a living online. And this guy was struggling to pay me his first deposit to start marketing. And he's saying, I want to put out a seven-figure coaching roadmap to help people start a seven-figure coaching business. And I was like, you don't even have a four-figure coaching business right now. How can we change the language so that you can actually help people today, step by step? And I think what we came up with was just a sales script, because he was quite good at selling. He was a really good salesperson and he wanted to teach people sales on the side so then they could actually eventually leave their full-time job, replace it with a sales job, and then move forwards into their own business. And so what we ended up getting people was the same sort of result, you know, extra income on the side of their jobs, eventually be able to replace that with a new skill. But there was never any promise of something that he couldn't do. All he was doing was what he thought needed to be done, because that's what he'd followed in the past. So once I realized how strong authenticity was for me, I noticed that a lot of people's guards came down during all the lockdowns when no one could go on the holidays and take photos of themselves in the first class lounges and that sort of thing. I noticed that people's engagement went up, people's response went up, and my whole life got a lot less stressful because there's no stress when you're telling the truth, right? Nothing weighs down on you.
It's fascinating that during the period of time in our lives when the stress levels of everyone was heightened so much, you're saying stress came down just around this topic, obviously, but there is something that I think a lot of people probably have been able to experience, whether it's around learning how to be authentic versus putting on airs and you know, representing yourself as somebody you're not, professionally or personally, right? Those of us who, I mean, I've always had the ability to work remotely. I've been using Zoom for years before, you know, many of the people around the world who use it now have been forced to. But there became a certain comfort that we've all sort of, not we all, many of us have learned to adapt into. And it's great to see that it's not just a personal relaxing or exhaling, but that you can do it professionally more thoroughly the way that you're describing it.
Well, in coaching, man, you know, in coaching, consultancy, service-based business, a lot of our personal life and business, there's a huge crossover, right? You know, so for me, yeah, I've got a marketing agency with a team of three and some freelancers, but there's most of it's going to be working directly with me. When you're a coach, 99% of it will be working directly with you. And so I don't believe there's much of a disparity between your business and your personal life at that level. Maybe when you own a t-shirt company or a soft drink company and is a factory and workers and a brand, you don't have to be the face of it. But in the coaching consultancy space, 100%, you are the face of it. So why not be honest about who you are? Because I'm sure you've had a bad client from time to time, David,
when I charged less, I had a lot of bad clients. When I raised my prices, the bad clients started to go away. But yes, I've had bad clients.
That's interesting, right? And I don't believe bad clients is ever the client's fault. I believe it's our fault for not managing their expectations properly, bringing in the wrong people. And, you know, when you've got an image of what your business can achieve and you're promising too much on a false premise, then you're bound to get more and more clients who come in, don't get what they thought they would get. And therefore that relationship goes sour and your whole business goes down. But the old adage of, under promise, over deliver, that's much easier when you're not pretending that you live in a penthouse apartment or spend your whole, you know, year traveling and then just, you know, scheduling the same photos over and over again on Instagram, proving to be this successful digital nomad, when you can actually just, go in, manage people's expectations, you know, hold down in reality and show people the reality of the situation and say, let's take it one step at a time, move forward together. I can help you with this one element of your life. Then that relationship lasts longer. Your clients are happier. Your business grows. And you've got, for me, that's where the stress goes away, is when you know that people are happy with the service you're delivering and not expecting more from you. Because I've done that. I've done that this year. You know, I brought on people by showing them my best ever testimonials from clients. Mm-hmm. Without the context that the people who got those best ever testimonials were investing way more, were way more experienced, way more talented, worked harder than anyone I know. And so when, quote, normal people come in and expect these enormous seven-figure results, then they're unhappy as well. And that's completely my fault.
The setting expectations, and by the way, I think that the expectations is very much in keeping with the prices I was charging, right? People who came in couldn't afford much but wanted the world, and I said, all right, well, we'll do what we can to, you know, within your budget, that they had higher expectations. And that's a very common thing that many businesses deal with. So expectations absolutely need to be set properly. By the way, you say, you know, you're using the coaches and consultants as your area of expertise. And I see everything that you're talking about applicable to pretty much any type of professional service provider. So whether it's an accountant or an attorney or a financial planner, an insurance, provider, mm-hmm. those individuals who are selling themselves, right? Because what they are selling is something that you can buy pretty much anywhere, right? Yeah. Are also very much in the same position as any coach, right? They're somebody's personal guide through this. And so I think everything you're talking about applies much more broadly, obviously, than coaching. We have a few minutes left, and I wondered in the remaining time if you could sort of take the concepts that we've been talking about and try to apply them a little bit in the marketing representation of a business. You've mentioned Instagram, but like what is happening out there online or offline, wherever somebody's being represented, that and how do you make that come across authentically when you're helping your clients position themselves in front of their ideal clients?
I think it does take time and experience, but it does take time and experience to get away from what I'm about to say, but that's fine. There's a big, because the coaching and the marketing industry is so results focused and speed focused. You can download templates from everywhere. You can get, everyone's got an email template or a marketing template or funnel hacking or something that you can copy and paste from someone else. Plug yourself into that business, into that marketing, and that'll be your marketing style, your content. Great way to get started, for sure. Proven results. However, if it doesn't fit your voice, if it doesn't fit your personality, people will sniff it out. I've noticed this when I use someone else's content templates or someone else's email templates or landing pages, and I try and apply it to my own business or my own language, it doesn't work. And because guess what? They've built that for them. And not for me. And I've never met the person who built it. So I would say, firstly, while funnel hacking, templates, content marketing, that kind of thing that you can purchase from other people and copy and plug in is a great way to get started, you've really got to focus first and foremost on using your own voice. How do I talk? How can I put that across to my clients? Do I try and sound overly professional? Do I try and sound overly casual? I'm going to find myself right in the middle is my first step. So for copywriting, for videos, for scripts, for imagery, writing and speaking the way you would normally speak to someone is huge for me, just as it is dressing the way you would normally dress. Because I find myself all the time walking around in my house in a t-shirt and then thinking, oh, I've got a client. I should put on something nicer. And then thinking, why on earth would I do that? That's not getting me anywhere. They won't think any different of me. I am the way I am, and they're paying for me. And if I want this relationship to be sustainable, we need to do this. So in your content, dress the way you dress, talk the way you talk, and everything comes out a lot easier. There's less planning. Secondly, or maybe this is thirdly, knowing your audience very, very, very well and diving into the exact issues your audience is feeling will also just make it a whole lot easier as well to market to what they really need rather than what they think they need. And that's a different concept as well. Everyone thinks they need 7-figure roadmaps, perfect sales scripts to close every time, 6-pack ab workouts in 5 minutes, the perfect ketogenic smoothie recipe that'll melt pounds off your love handles. However, knowing the real reason people want these results and then knowing the reasons why they want the reasons is the second easiest hack I've got for creating great marketing as well, because it separates you from all the other people promising the things they can't promise. And it allows you to dig deeper, come across as less hypey, more authentic, and someone people can trust. So when you say, if you're a parent, if you're a family guy like myself, and I know the fact that a lot of people want to make extra money in their business is to not grab a Lambo, but to have more time to, watch Frozen in the morning before they start work and start work when they want to. and I put that in my marketing, people will resonate with that on a much deeper level than just another promise of what they think they want. And so knowing in your heart who you are and knowing in your heart who your clients are and just speaking on that deeper level for me is a hugely important thing that actually means you never have to create anything. You just have to talk, speak the way you normally do it. And yeah, half the job's done for you, man. People will love it.
I love the way that you sort of summarize so much of what we do when we're in the copywriting and research space. And that last point that you made about really understanding that prospect in a way that, you know, it's all about them. And there's a famous line that I butcher, and I think I did this on the last episode of the podcast as well, by a guy named Robert Collier, all about, you know, the effectiveness of getting inside the mind of your prospect, right? So getting in the middle of the conversation that's going on inside their mind, some to that effect, is highly effective at selling to them. But you've made an interesting point, which is that it's incredibly effective at gaining their trust. Because somebody sees you and they go, oh, this person gets me.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, you know, on a deeper level, I think most service-based professionals are marketing to an earlier version of themselves. You know, if you're really good at, if you're a really great financial advisor, you're probably marketing to yourself, you know, 7 years ago before you knew too much about money. For me, I'm marketing, you know, to the coaches who don't know how to market, which was me. And people who, a lot of personal trainers or spiritual coaches or people in the health space will be marketing to who they were before they had that journey and that transformation. So it's really easy for us to really understand what people are going through. And by acknowledging that we've been through that, we weren't always perfect. We're still not perfect, but we just know the next step for you. Then, I think that creates an enormous amount of trust, and you never have to try too hard to come up with content because it just flows out of you as the truth, man.
That's awesome. I want to make sure that folks know where to find you should they want to learn more. I mentioned earlier, your website, which is tothemoondigital.com.au. And we'll make sure to leave that in the show notes. By the way, To the Moon, I'm going to assume, is not a reference to Jackie Gleason and the Honeymooners, which is a negative connotation. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, you'll look it up on Google afterwards because you might be a little too young. But it's actually a positive thing. You want to sort of explain the name behind that?
Yeah, man. When I first started my digital marketing agency, it was a means to an end business, which was I realized I couldn't do most of my health coaching business for two reasons. One was lockdowns, two was my twin babies on the way. And so I couldn't do the gym visits, the cooking demos, or the, you know, the late night webinars. So I was like, I'll just do a small marketing agency for a bit. And what I called myself was No Frills Marketing, because I was like, I'm not doing all the fancy stuff. I'm here for small business owners who don't know what they're doing. I'm going to show you these first few steps. No Frills Marketing got me a very, you know, specific kind of client of what you can imagine, you know, the low budget, high expectation, no knowledge, difficult people. That got me through.
Those were the ones I was talking about a little while ago.
100%. And because that was my branding, it got me a certain kind of person, and it was, it never really went off. But when I realized that I could actually make a living from this, I thought, okay, I need to niche down. I need to raise, you know, my brand. And so I thought two things. One was that I need to have a name that actually reflects that I'm quite good at this and I can actually help people grow, not just be No Frills. And two, what's big on the internet right now? And what was big last year or 2 years ago was meme coins, was cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. You know, people just jumping on whatever Elon Musk tweeted about. And he'd say something like Dogecoin to the moon. And to the moon became just this internet catchphrase. And so I thought, you know, I'll jump on this trend And I started To the Moon Digital, and my branding perception went up, my client quality went up, and also it made it very, very handy to kind of space theme all my marketing launch pads, the Mars method, my Venus program. It all became pretty easy. We're still waiting on the Uranus program. We haven't launched that one yet, but yeah, man, To the Moon was a joke and it just worked out really well.
Well, it's great. I love the way you play off of it. And if folks want to find you, they can head over to tothemoondigital.com.au to find Alex and learn a little bit more about what you have to offer. Alex Morris, thank you so very much for hanging out with me. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks, David. Me too. It was a lot of fun and it's a very cool topic not enough people ask me about. So thank you.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. If you found some value and you think you know somebody who could benefit from hearing it as well, please do share it. And I look forward to seeing you back here on another episode of More Perfect Marketing soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.